on page K, that Rebbe's teaching us, he's giving us an example of a different way of learning Tanakh, a way of learning that encourages the use of our moichas, of our minds, and of our imagination, and how learning can be an experience which is ma'ir hisrakshus. Obviously, not every parasha in Torah is conducive to this. It's harder when you get into the parashas like parts of Mishpatim and then Shuvat Tzav and so on that deal mostly with halacha in Yonim and the building of the Mishkan. But even there, it certainly is something that can be worked on. So he explains on the bottom of Pei. He's talking about machshavas of chadashos, that a person can have his chadashos and his machshavas when he's looking at the parasha. He's talking about the parasha of Yitzis Mitzrayim. It's just a beautiful, beautiful invitation into the mind of a tzaddik and the heart of a tzaddik, and how he taught chumash and how he learned chumash, and he's letting us in on it a little bit. So he says, Lamashal, Ezer Raishim, Asasar Bias Maisha Rabbein, of Aharon HaKoyin Al Yisrael, B'Tsayrus HaGu'ula B'Mitzrayim. He says, try to imagine what an unbelievable impression it made upon the Jewish people of Bnei Yisrael when Maisha Rabbein and Aaron came with the news of the upcoming redemption. We're so used to reading these things and Pesach, that it became like part of our liturgy. It became as lifeless as, you know, as Yishtabach, Hashem Yoachim. But if a person thinks about it and goes into Ba'aymek, I mean, there was an Asfarm Shtay yesterday, and so there's a Sefer that came out of Megillas Esther. I'll say from Megillas Esther, which just takes each parak of Megillas Esther, and it takes all the midrashim and all the chazals and weaves it together into a very, very exciting and beautiful story. The whole brings out the all the depth and the excitement, and it makes it something which a person can really experience and feel, because it's hard for us, without knowing all the midrashim or on the spot, to be able to put it all together. So he says, can we imagine what a roshim it made when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen came with the news of the Geula? Ech divru oz babatei Yisrael mizeh. You know how Yidden get excited about the talk about in the house about things that are going on in the community, things it's called kulitzing, it's called, you know, talking about the kahal, kahulitzing. So the talk, it's an expression to the old country, kulitzing. So imagine that they came back into their homes, and they were talking about what was going on in Paro's court, what was happening, what was developments, things that were going on. The Alde Yisrael, and we know that Jewish children, the Rebbe says, are very smart and very pure and innocent. Remember what these were, people suffering and misery and slavery and degradation. And you think, he says, the children heard all of this, and the children were excited and were asking, that they heard that they grew up in this misery. They were born into it, they grew up in it, and the murder, he's going to talk about later on, the slavery, the murder, the torture. And now everybody was talking, and they were whispering in about Geula, about redemption. And that's why we see that after we left Mitzrayim, the Torah took so seriously the questions of Jewish children, how important it is. It's not stop. In other words, answering the children now and being ma'ir the children to ask is to relive the excitement of that experience of what was then in Mitzrayim, where all the kidlach were asking and were excited and were wondering, and different children asked different questions, and the Torah wants us to keep that going. Hashem Baruch Hu wants us to keep that alive in the form of the mitzvahs of Leil Pesach. That Baruch Hashem wants us to live with that. And to respond to the children's questions. There's no question that the kindlech came and they were attacking in a good way. They came confronted their parents with all kinds of questions. So there's no question of that. There were so many different things that they felt and that they experienced. But again, the Torah doesn't tell us the details of how were the children behaving, what was going on with the children in the time. And after Midrash, and even the Midrash doesn't say exactly how these things took place. It doesn't describe. There's more. You had a little bit in Midrash like this and like that, but it doesn't tell us the everyday common kind of scenes in each Jewish home. It's the responsibility of each and every one of us to try to see this in our minds, and to draw these pictures in our minds. Machshava v'dimyan isha Yisraeli, to try to imagine with this koyach of a Jewish imagination, l'fi ha'ifen v'haderech ha'nema b'tayr v'medrashim, using the basis of what we have in the Chumash and the Medrashim, v'tzayelecha k'fi daitecha k'ein zeh, and to try to picture this in the mind. Vayimaru es chayeim avayda kasha, page pay aleph. Vayimaru es chayeim avayda kasha b'chaymer b'luveinim es kol avadasim esha ovda behem v'farim. So the Torah tells us just in a general way that the Egyptians embittered the lives of our ancestors with terrible work and the filth and the schmutz and the bricks and the all the backbreaking work that we were forced to do. The cruel Egyptians didn't need the buildings. All they wanted to do was to make our lives miserable. That's all they wanted to do. So Latachlazu Livnais Pisan Varam says Bodlaham. So they made up this whole thing, as we know, that to torment us. They made up this whole thing to build these cities, and they weren't able to last the way that where they were built and how they were built, but it was just to torture us. Like we see that our enemies, that the Germans, Yimach Shemam and other Rishayim, they did these things, and my father told me how he remembers what was going on there in Mauthausen, how the Germans, Yimach Shemam, had the Jews work on this railroad track, and my father said they had these unbelievably heavy iron bars that go on the track, these very heavy iron things, and the Germans stood there all day with aiming their rifles at them. And my father said what they had to do all day was to take these iron bars and to bring them to this railroad track, and if you drop it they shoot you, and to put it down. And then my father said that they would live, and they would then tell them to take it back to the pile all day long, because they weren't building there was no track to build there. They couldn't build it anymore because there was bombing going on all over or something, and all they had to do was to just to schlep to take these sick people that weighed like, you know, 50 pounds and to make them carry these iron bars. So my father said that in the beginning when they were working, in the beginning when they first got to the concentration camp, so then they were building a train track. And my father said that even though they knew that it was for the Rishayim, and what is it, what are they doing with this track? Only bad things they're doing with it. But my father said that at least it keeps you living a little bit, that you feel that you're doing something productive, you know, like, even though productive, that they, because they believe that the Germans will be driven out, because they always heard rumors of Moshe and Aaron, you know, bringing a Gula. They heard that, you know, they heard rumors that it was going to end the war, and they felt that we'll have here a nice railroad track for the Americans, that somebody good will come and they'll use the railroad track. My father said they had some chiyas, you know, that they were building a track, they were doing something. It was, they felt a little bit revived by that. But then as it got bad, it got closer to the end. So my father said they just make them carry these. And my father said they were like a ton. And to carry these things back and forth, just back and forth, nothing. There's no tachlis. And I said, my father said, that's the hardest thing. It's the most miserable thing, because you're not accomplishing anything. You're not doing anything. So you see that this is an ancient practice. Goes back to Pisum and Ramses, which Bodulahem is, even Arimiskmus the power is Pisum and Ramses. They were make-believe cities just to torture and to hurt and to humiliate. V'lo be binyanei Pisum v'Ramses levad. Not only the buildings there in Pisum and Ramses. Ragacha kol avodah kasha. The Gemara says, if to every, they looked, the Egyptians looked for every type of backbreaking, terrible work. Hakol avodah kasha chokru v'chipsu v'havidu. And he says, whatever they could find. The jobs, chokru v'chipsu v'havidu ben Yisrael. We have a hasaga. You see, from modern times, from what happened to our parents and grandparents, you could take a little bit of a hasaga of what it meant and what it was, these kind of jobs, that they wouldn't, that a behemah wouldn't. So he says, chayiv shel ha'ivri, the life of a Jew in Egypt was hefka, ha yoyse mechai, kol behemah v'chai. I'm always sad when I read this part of the Shos Avreichim, and you can read the descriptions that the Rebbe was talking about in Mitzrayim, and it would only be a few years that he himself would be put through these things. Like all the descriptions and the way he goes into such details that he himself and all the Jews in Poland that he was with, that you'll see every description here is what he was going to have in a few years. Which he never imagined such a thing there could be. Talking about what was in Mitzrayim. You don't have to tell the Jews from the Holocaust to try to imagine what it was like in Egypt. They just press that button in their heads and they remember what it was like. They'd be treated like an animal. My mother said how they used to make them. And when in Auschwitz, she had to clean. Everybody has stories like this. I'm just from my family that I grew up with, these stories that they clean. There was, you know, everybody had such machlis, you know, with the bathroom. And you know, there's no way to describe what that was, what was going on there because of how sick they were, and what was going on with the bathroom in Yonim, and the filth and the schmutz. My mother said that they pushed her and three other women, that they had to go into this place up to their necks in that stuff, up to their necks, you'll excuse me, in diarrhea and in filth, that they had to go with buckets to clean it out, that the Germans were standing there laughing at them on the side. We're not masking that. When we walk into a bathroom someplace, in a public bathroom, it has a little bit of a stench, so already you have such a tzagal nefesh, and you can't believe it. It's terrible that a human being should be. Yosem Echai Kol Behema V'Chaya, an animal. So we don't think of Mitzrayim like that. We think of Mitzrayim, think of it differently. Is loy levad b'zesh shalchu oisam l'mekamis m'sukonim. Not only that, Chazal tell us they were sent all kinds of very dangerous things to do. They had to go. The Egyptians liked to have all kinds of circuses, kiddo, and different things, and they sent Yidden to go bring back for them bears and lions. Everything that was hefker. Now I'm called Mitzri, Shaita V'Rasha. Every single Egyptian, even an Egyptian who was a Shaita, a Rasha, a fool, a Rasha, Kam Kol Narbozi, and any kid, any Egyptian kid, Narbozi, some disgusting little kid, his Chatzif Lakala, Af Lahaka, his Ivri Zakein, would have the chutzpah to curse. And to hit an old Jew, to beat up an old Jew. No, this is mamish what the rabbi was going to have. Any nar, any shaita in Mitzrayim could go over and start hitting an old Jew. And the supanim achashiv a yid. Hakos ayumas horrible makis ad shvoras atzmais of aflahargo. To break bones and even to kill an old Jew. And even if the Jew was stronger than him, it wasn't an old man. It was a Jew that was stronger. He had to be soivel the makis. He had to withstand the makis. He had to be quiet. Shall call nar meshukitz of every shegitz. Any shagits that went there to give him to hit him, even if a yid had the strength to, he had to be quiet. He had to be soivelit. Kimihu asher yoyin lamid neged mitzri. Who would have the nerve? Who would dare stand up to an Egyptian? Asher b'yideim chas v'shal machalas kulim karagim. That if they wanted, they could. If you get an Egyptian upset, they could go and kill everybody. This is exactly what happened later on. Umimen ha'ivim, ashlohaya shavu meshuba yodav raglav. There wasn't a Jew who wasn't totally broken, his hands and his legs, a shaman at smice of his bones. Avoda kosha ba'atzma shemisol kol echad yoisim mekoych shavu yisol. Again, the midrashim talk about the kind of jobs. The unbearable type of work that was given that broke them. The gamha kois ashehikoisam, haisifu l'shavim. Besides the work itself, which was breaking their bones, they were getting beaten all the time. L'chaseisam makis b'tzayim ad hivish pecha. Hav neschak malay. What does it mean? Hav neschak malay. The Rebbe says, hav neschak malay. You don't have to buy any fancy haggadahs this year. Just open up to these pages in Achshavas Avraham and read them by the Seder and translate them. You don't have to have anything else, just to translate these for the children to hear. Well, everybody's saying over the latest pshat and Havanas Chakmalai. The Ratzon Hashem is that we should feel this on Pesach night. That's the ikar of Leil Pesach, is to feel these things and to learn. You learn the Nyanim before Pesach and during Pesach, but Leil Pesach, the Baruch Shem says, Ki'ilu, you yourself, and the children should feel that, what it's like. Havnas Chakmalai, to try to explain to the children that our ancestors didn't even have iPods when they were in Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe. Tell them that the children are organized, but when they were getting hurt, they could just take out the cell phone and call for help. Try to explain to them what it meant to be, what it was like to be an Eved in Mitzrayim. Chav neschak malay b'yom v'layla. So it says in Pasuk, Chav neschak malay. That means that the Egyptians were thinking day and night of new things that they could do. New gzeiros, just like Eichmini Yamach Shemai. there's a whole division in the government of Nazi Germany that its entire job was just to think of ways to make the lives of our people miserable, to hurt Jews. That's the whole Metzius. There's a whole division of the government that its entire job was the final solution. Havnas Chakmalai. Let's think of things that we could do. Let's try to find new gzeiras. This horrible statement was constantly on the mouths of the Egyptians. Let's think of new clever ways to torture them. And the emes is, the Rebbe says, that there was a lot of chokhmah, evil chokhmah, and crookedness from the sitrach, from the other side, that they invested lachka lachadish rose, meriros, yaisa lahara levnei Yisrael, to think of new, this horrible bitterness that they could bring, and the evil that they could bring upon Bnei Yisrael. This is like you're reading from a Nazi manual from 1939. No, it's like you read. Kila hayol ham davar ba'olam. It's as if the Egyptians had nothing else in the world to do. Milti imlokutz es chayyisro, except to make the lives of our ancestors miserable. They had nothing else to do. That's all they had to live for. Which, all of you know, we spoke about many times how, even when the Germans were running away from concentration camp, they were leaving, they were running because for their lives, because the Americans, the Russians were coming, and the Nazis were running away, they still took time to kill and to beat and to, and it's a pella because their lives were mamish in danger. The Germans had to get out, and they still couldn't let go of it. The Havanas Chakmalai. It seemed that the whole tachlis of every Egyptian, every from child to adult, that the whole tachlis of the Egyptian life was this one thing. From any individual Egyptian, and the whole Egyptian malchus. Yeah, I'm sure you heard that this Rosh Marusha was put into jail for 3 years. This guy Irving, David Irving, this Holocaust denier, that in Austria, because of speeches he gave in 1989, 1990, in Austria, it's a crime to deny the Holocaust. And yeah, he's put into jail for 3 years, and he said, in court, he said, no, I realize the Taka were gas chambers now, Taka. So he said, he didn't know, but now he met somebody that was in the Holocaust who told him there was gas chambers. He considers himself a historian. He's written 20 books. And just as they're about to take him off to jail, he says, yeah, I heard it. I admit, I realized I made a mistake. The Taka was there were gas chambers. The shot is that the whole Malchus of the Nazis, the Iker Yisoid of the Malchus, was the final solution. I'm not talking about people like this guy David Irving, Yimach Shemai. I'm talking about even the typical guy who acknowledges that there was a Holocaust. He doesn't have this vicious. And or even Lahavdil Alef Alfei Avdos, even Stam. Many Jews that didn't read and they don't know. Nowadays, a lot of the kids, they don't know. So they think that the Nazis were trying to take over the world, and the Nazis were very, very bad people, and the Nazis had as one of the agendas of the Nazis that had this thing also to kill Jews, because that was part of their wickedness. But that was a David Axelrod. Hey, David. Let's see. Why should I say to him? I'm just called me from Yerushalayim. And people don't even realize. Even these regular people on the street that don't even know they don't even realize that it wasn't stam. That it was a seif, there was a seif katan, that there was a paragraph in the Nazi plan, that part of their inyan was to kill Jews. Of the whole mitzias bemis, the whole mitzias, and the whole tachlis of Nazism was the destruction of the Jews. And when we say that truth, so then the goyim get very upset about that. They say that the Jews make it, they're right, they had a hard time, masking, but not from the Holocaust deniers. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. But to think that the whole thing of the Nazis was to kill Jews, but that was the whole thing. The whole Metzius of the Nazis, the whole Metzius of the Malchus of Amalek, is the destruction of Jews, and all the other things were his lapshias of how to accomplish the destructions of the Jews. And this you could see even if you began from the beginning in reading Mein Kampf from the Yimach Shemoy from Hitler, and you read through the Ksavim, and you see what was the Ikke subject of their conferences, of what is it that needed to be accomplished, and what were they doing, to the point of self-destruction. To the point of self-destruction. They were prepared to pursue the underlying yisite of all that they wanted, which was to destroy Klal Yisrael. So that's what he says, "Now Yichidi v'ad kol Malchus Mitzrayim." And if some time went by and they didn't have any chidushim, any new ideas of what to load upon the Jews, of what misery, then all they did was that they doubled up on the work, the old work. Because they were trying to think always of new gzeiros. But then sometimes there weren't any chidushim, so then they would just take the existing zeirus and they would double up. Kigoyin lahachlif litem leches anoshim anoshim. The zeira of the same work, but we're just going to tell, we're going to have fun watching the men do the women's work and the women do the men's work. We're going to have fun. Next, pay base. You should try to remember Pesach night to just sit and to read this over by the Seder. You have to remember. Kam tzipra motzah bayis l'dror keinla. David Melech said that even a bird has a home and has a nest. Asher behem talayna, where they could rest. A bird has a place. It goes in that place. It could hide from everything. It can go to have a little menucha. Avo ben Yisrael, but a Jew. Acha kol avadosa hamara. After all the bitter work, me'ez kriyas agever from the time of the rooster. You know, from the time that he woke up in the morning. Va'achre hakoyis of a shvias atzmais of kol hayayim. After getting beaten. And his bones being broken an entire day. Loinis anuhu leleches abayis lanuach. He wasn't given a home. They weren't able to go and to rest. Rak besode yolin. They had to sleep in the fields. There were some that had houses, but even when they had their original places. But part of the gezeirus was that they weren't allowed to go home. They were forced to stay, to lie down, to sleep in the field. So, you know, everybody knows what a miserable thing that is. Most of us have probably thought at some point it would be a really nice thing to sleep outdoors one night, something like that, like growing up. And like halfway through the night, you say, this is the dumbest thing I ever did in my life. I'm like, maybe you're a bigger outdoorsman than me. I remember trying that and making a whole big deal. My parents didn't want to sleep in the backyard because I had some friend of mine that said it was a real neat thing to sleep in the backyard, something like that. And my father said, "Mr. Mishiga, what do you want to sleep in the backyard?" So I had a friend sleeping over. We're going to sleep in the backyard. And made like this thing. We didn't have any tents or anything like that. We just made, you know, like the blankets and stuff. You know, we tried to make a thing, like our own tent. We're gonna. I got this idea because I had this friend that was like really into camping, you know. So the Americans were into that. You know, the European kids were never. The Europeans didn't have anything like with camping. They did enough camping. So we. But this friend of mine like made a mistake and he came over. We're gonna make this thing outdoors. And so you know, you're lying out there in the backyard, and my mother's looking out the window, of course, the whole time. And we're in the backyard, and then first thing you start the dogs. I never heard them like that. The dogs at night they get more labored. And the dogs, and then he got the bugs and everything. So, and I remember thinking, boy, he's gonna make fun of me, this guy, if I go in. But I couldn't take it. You know? So I made like for half an hour. I said, who cares, in Michigan? I took my stuff and went inside, left him there for the night. So it's not fun, you know, sleeping outdoors is it's not such a gewaldig thing. He says, so they didn't let them, but that's after a whole terrible day. So all you want to be able to do is to settle into a nice bed. Everybody knows when you have a hard day and you're working hard, and it's, you just want to take a shower and to climb into a nice warm bed, not to have such a thing. And to lie out in the fields. They had to lie there in the filth. They used as blankets and pillows. They used the mud and the granite, whatever, the filth. So then you know, in the last stage of Golus, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to come and was able to be poil. It was a gewaldige thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be poil to get them a Shabbos off. To get them Shabbos. All the year they didn't have. Moshe was able to be piled to get them Shabbos.
Rav Dov Goyim and Jews, but somebody sent me these pictures of the soldiers in Iraq right now, and they sleep on the street. Like, they can't go back, they have to watch. You see pictures of them sleeping in mud holes in the middle of the street with blankets.
They'll be okay, Mr. Shah.
It's an amazing thing, you know, to be in a position like that too. You know?
It's terrible for any person to go through that. It's terrible for any person, but Engla Damis. Can't be compared when a person self called self, when you're the army, you're not the victim. Ain't the damas. Soldiers, it's very hard. I'm not saying I would ever last more than a half hour, don't get me wrong. But soldiers self called self, they have their dignity. There's a certain chashivas. Yeah? And you know that you have a certain time. There's not one of them, there's no American soldier that's going to have to go like that without knowing and not being able after a couple of days or a week. There's no such thing, not in the American Army. There's no soldier that's going to go without a hot shower. I don't care what it says in the newspaper. Remember, the newspapers are mostly trying to make it as bad as possible. No? So how do you know about it?
Kind of like some emails going around from pictures from soldiers themselves taking pictures of each other.
Yeah, but those soldiers in Mitzvah, they'll get a nice hot shower after a few days. It's not going to be for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years. It's not going to be for them. They'll be okay. And they all have something to eat. Every American soldier gets a good meal, not stam a meal. Nobody is starving. And none of them are being beaten and humiliated, right? Okay, it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. It's not shkafelach. It's not so terrible. So when I have a hasaga of what it means for people to be enslaved, Rabbi Mehem is b'neiim layodu v'loy b'neiim ayisam. There are many, many of the slaves that they never ever could see their children. They weren't allowed back to their homes. They hardly were allowed to see their children. There are many months and sometimes years that went on. Chazal tells us that the children were, when they were little, before they were old enough to work, so they were in the houses, and the men were sleeping. They weren't allowed to, in the fields, and they weren't allowed to come back. They didn't see their children. Rak besod bechaimer ulevein bebezyanis Rudifus Vakos is Kol Yimei Chayim Bola. They spent, the father spent their entire lives in the field with the grime and the dirt, and Bizyonis and Rudifus and being beaten. It's Kol Yimei Chayim Bola. They lived like that their whole lives. As Gufam Shal Bnei Yisrael is Chakmon Lechoshim Anoichlam Kalkach Lifrek Lechates Vegamis Rucham Lifrek. The Egyptians thought of ways, chachmas, of how to break the Jewish bodies, but it wasn't just the Jewish bodies, of course, but gamas rucham lifro. The ikar is how to break the spirit of the Jews. Leiv ha'achzor le'nizba mizeh shayin emosim b'neim avaydes tit u'levenim. The heart of the wicked ones wasn't satiated. Their hearts weren't satisfied by seeing the Jews being filthy and disgusting with all the dirt and grime. There wasn't enough for them. He says, remember, when Bnei Yisrael came to Mitzrayim, we were considered to be the most respected, the most noble. The Yaakov Avinu came with his children. Ah, we were considered to be the elite of the entire Egyptian society. The Jews were the most chashuv in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. And now, came in such a way of nobility. Now they made them what? Lemetate shivakim orchayvus. Chazal tell us that they were forced, in very humiliating ways, to sweep in front of the Egyptians, to go cleaning and scrubbing the marketplaces and the streets in Mitzrayim. No, the Rebbe himself would be forced to do that a few years after he wrote this. It's hard to be masik. Everybody knows there's a famous story about the Ilga Kapishnitsa. That wasn't the Kapishnitsa, it was one second. Yeah, the Sadegeir. The Tzaddikim, that they were in Vienna between the war, after World War One. By World War One, they had to run away from Galicia, from Poland and places. So that during the time between World War One and World War Two, there were a lot of tzaddikim that were in Vienna. So many Kapishnitz was there, and the Sadegeir was there. Chavka, there were tzaddikim that were in Vienna. And the Germans, Yimach Shem, when they came then they started with the Gezeiris. So there was many, many years after the war. It's a famous mice. Many years after the war, it was in Tel Aviv very, very early in the morning. It was before davening. Somebody was walking there in Tel Aviv, and the street was still dark, and he saw there was a beautiful looking yid that was standing on the street, sweeping the street, cleaning the street. And he went close and he saw that it was the Sadegeir Rebbe, Schussi again, Lena. It's the Sadegeir Rebbe. So this yid ran over to grab the broom. He didn't know what's going on then. 4 o'clock in the morning, and he asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, what are you doing here? What's going on? This was, Sadegeir Rishin, that's Malchus, So he went, and the Rebbe told him that a long time ago in Vienna, when the Germans came, they took him and his cousins, other tzaddikim, and other rabbis that were there, and they beat them up, and they threw them on the ground, and they gave them brushes and brooms and to scrub the streets, and all the Nazis brought all the Jews to laugh and to make, and all the Nazis were making fun. And he had to be mechazik himself. He had to mechazik himself because he said he felt like dying. Then how could it be that I'm an enikel from the Hilig Arishna, and I'm on the floor here by these goyim, by these amalekim, and I'm doing this? How could it be? And he said that I was mechazik myself, and I said to myself that, well, I shouldn't think about them. I should just remember that this street is also one of the Baruch Shalom streets in the world. And what's so bad if I clean one of the Baruch Shalom streets? He said, I was mechazik myself with this machshava. And I said to myself that if I ever make it out of this, I'm gonna always continue to clean the Baruch Shalom streets. But it won't be here with the Nazis in Machshavam. It's going to be someplace else. So he said that here I'm in Tel Aviv, and every morning I come out for a few minutes to sweep a little bit the street in Tel Aviv. No. They're not massive what that means. What to take Jews who are so noble and so holy and pure, and to humiliate them and to dehumanize and to degrade. You see what the Rebbe is writing here is mamish. All the things that from Chazal say that. Chazal say that the Jews were forced. They made Jews, old people, go and to sweep and to scrub the floor. The Jews were mamish mezuyim u'shvelim, low and disgusting in the eyes of the Egyptians. See how the Germans looked at Jews, and they to experiment on human beings. They thought the Jews were like monkeys, and how they looked at and how they look at the pictures that they made, the cartoons they made. They still make, but now mostly they're Muslims. The Muslims are making a pogrom in the whole world because some idiots made cartoons of the Meshuggah, of the Ishmaeli. So now they went to making pogroms all over Europe and all over the world because there were a few cartoons that were made in the newspaper. And look what every single day they put out in the newspapers from Saudi Arabia. Every single day in the newspapers in Egypt and Kuwait, how they draw Jews and how Jews look and how they see us. The same mahalach of the Germans, Yimach Shemun. The same mahalach. The Jews are bzuyim shveilim ha'yisro b'neim. V'afiz the same atahiris eshel lahem e'avisayim k'doshim ha'yim avazim. And they would make fun of the beliefs that we had. They would mock and make fun of our beliefs. Again, these are all chazals. Ogzeus arose, Zorma Zoyalzu. The terrible Gzeus would come one after the other. So my father says, you remember how every day when you went out into the street, that there were new signs the Germans would put up, new dinim, new Gzeus. My father said, every day he came out, there were new signs put up. New Gzeus about this closing, the business have to be closed, or the Jews have to bring all of their clothing to this place. Oh, every day there were new gezeiros. When you went down, my father said in the morning, there were new gezeiros, new announcements. And then the Germans would come around with cars, with loudspeakers, announcing new things, that new ideas for the Jews for that day, new gezeiros.
Excuse me, Rabbi. I don't understand how we're supposed to look at all these terrible things that happened to us.
Like, that's not for now. That's not for now. Now we're talking about looking at them, not how. We're talking about looking at them. It's not for now. If you want, we can talk about it privately. It's not for now. He says, the Gzeiros rose Zarma Zu al Zu. Acha Harishain, they speak a lot, says. When one Gzeiro is done, Hashni Ashlishis, then there would be a second, a third, and if hell is lovely. La'ene ish a Yisraeli. La'ene ish a Yisraeli. Kilo choshchu shamayim im ayrev. For the eyes of a Jew, it's like there was no sun anymore. It's like there was no sunlight. Everything was only dark. El Eretz Yabit. They couldn't even look up to the sky. They just had their eyes on the ground. It's just that Tsara's darkness. Darkness that was unbearable. Harisha Asher B'chol Ha'olam. The Rebbe says it's as if all of the evil of the world, all of the wickedness of the world, from the depths of the ocean, and beyond the mountains of darkness, it's ki'ilu l'Mitzrayim nikbitz. It's as if all of the evil of the world somehow gathered it in Egypt. In all of the world, usually the evil, the tsaros are spread out through the entire world. But now it was like all of the evil of the world gathered together in Mitzrayim. Nikbitz, the kula negid yisrael haskayma. And all of the evil of the world, because usually it's divided. You know, there's a lot of riches in the world, but it's divided up from the whole world to this, all kinds of riches all over the world. But it's as if all of the riches came, and now there was one victim, and that's Yisrael. Akula Kenegi Yisrael is Kaimama. Va Alayim Hisnapla Machbido Meik Alayim, and it fell upon them in the heaviest and most torturous way. Advit Sayyid Shayris Kaicham, that was squeezed out whatever life was left in them. In Bori Vishamein Paro Viliba Yitayvalov. But don't worry, Paro was good and fat and healthy. Also remember what that was like and the kind of meals my father said, that how the Germans would go there, they would go there and they would stand in front of the Jews eating big salami sandwiches. My father still remembers these big sandwiches and walking around with turkey bones. And Nahum Roe, that the Jews are looking at this. And what that was, my father said that was to, and they would walk, and the smell of the food that the Nazis would walk around this, and that they would make them clean. My mother had a sister, Lashem, she passed away. This sister, she passed away a few years ago. She worked in the kitchen by the Germans in Auschwitz. She saved my mother's life because she smuggled out some potato peels and stuff from the garbage. But she used to tell us how the Germans would stand there. Her job was, she was a cook. The Germans gave it to cook, which was already a better job. She was cooking in the kitchen because she was very good at that. And she was cooking in the kitchen for the Germans. And can you imagine? This is what the Rebbe was saying before. They had nothing else to do. Everywhere, my aunt told me that everywhere there were guards standing there with guns. That, ulai, that a Jew shouldn't try to chop in, to throw into their mouth a piece of food. That it was kedai for them to have every couple of feet to have another Nazi standing there to watch the Jews that were cooking. That nobody should take in a drop of food that they weren't allowed. So she said that all day long she was cooking for them, for the animals, for the chayes, and she herself was starving to death, and she couldn't put a spoon in her mouth of the soup. She couldn't put a spoon. She said, my aunt told me that there was another lady there. It was a distant relative of ours. The mother said that she was also in the kitchen, there was a big cauldron of boiling soup that they were making for the Germans. And for a second, the German that was standing there was talking to another German, turned away. And that this woman, she tried to grab in her mouth with a hand or something, with a ladle, to take some soup into her mouth. And the German turned and saw that. And the German took her and put her into this, and they boiled her to death laughing. They were holding her in the boiling cold, and they boiled her to death. They put her into the soup to kill her, because she took to her mouth one spoon she was trying to take. The Germans couldn't be civil that she should have a spoon. And when so Paro was fat and the Germans were healthy. In Bori Vishamein Paro V'Libay Toivalov. And Paro was in a good mood. He still had his entertainment and he had his fun. Guys who Xeris Rose. All kinds of gezeiros, he was signing his signature, and all kinds of gezeiros. Leman hoyle lomai, to enjoy himself, to lisanig the tzaras ha'ivrim, in order to have fun with the tzaras of the Jews. V'nechlev and its direya. Then Paro started, things were coming to the end, and Paro, as you know, became tzaras. Paro got sick, became leprous. He used to bathe in the blood of Jewish babies, a clinic. So he started getting sick. So then there was a little hope. Right? There were rumors going around about the Jews. There were rumors. Paro was now, finally, he was there. It's coming. He was getting clapped. Paro was getting it. He was sick. So now Yidden was starting to think, maybe now he's going to realize, and maybe the murderous heart of the Ritzach, this murderous heart, maybe is now going to become humbled. It's going to give in. He made it worse. The Gozar Lishchad made a Chamishim Yaldi Yisrael. Chazal tells us he made a Gzeir to Shech, 150 Jewish children. A biker, a Mev Chamishim Be'erev. Another 150 children were Shechted at night. Lechayt says Gufay, him a Zoyim. He felt that's how he was going to get rid of his Tzeraz, of his leprosy. He has to bathe them in the blood of little children. To bathe himself in the blood of these angels, of these pure angels of Jewish children. Again, we don't think of it. We just hear these stories a little bit and you don't think of it. Think of if we would try to imagine, God forbid, them marching out the little children from any of the schools or from any cheder and standing there on the street and watching the children being shechted and their blood being squeezed into buckets and then for the Rishayim to go washing themselves with, to be massive, it means. Shaymu Shamayim Ve'idu. The heavens themselves testify. Halami Ozbara Hashem Islam Isam. The heavens themselves testify that from the day that God created heaven, Valkom Allaish Mivaram Tabitu. The Rebbe says that the heavens could be called to testify. Since the day that you were created, did you ever see such cruelty? The irony of every word here is so unbelievable. You can go out of your kalim thinking about it. But the Rebbe was going to see himself. He says not only that, but all of the earth dwellers, all of the people of the world at that time, they knew what was going on, and they kept silent. They were silent. They didn't say anything. The pshat of what it means is that all of the noise of the world, all of the noise of the world, with all of the talking of the world, cannot quiet down the tsaros. And all the tumultuous noise can't silence the bitterness of our pain. Im du'atim shemayim. So the Rebbe says that the heavens should stand up, and with your thunder you should scream out with your thunder. Ha'iduna, the Rebbe says, Ha'iduna, testify, say the truth. In Kvarisim Anoshim Ogam Chayis Pros, did you ever see human beings or wild animals? Did you ever see that they should go through the bitter tzaros that we went through in Mitzrayim? Did you ever see that animals should go through such things? I believe that the Rebbe was the Zeruah HaKadosh. The Rebbe saw that something was coming up. He says to the heavens, you should testify. Did you ever see such a thing? That what? That children should be torn apart? That innocent children should be torn apart and to tear them away. To tear them away from their parents and then to shech them. Did you ever see? Could there ever have been such a thing? The heavens should testify. Was there ever such a thing? That children should be torn away from their parents and to be shechted. Va'at eretz, eirze. And you, then the Rebbe turns to the earth and he said, how do you tolerate all of this wickedness and all of this Jewish blood being spilled into you? How do you tolerate it? He says to the earth, how could you not open up and swallow up? How do you allow yourself to be a basis, a ground for every Russia and for all the rishis that's going on, and to hide all the Jewish blood Kol Ma'aseh Retzach Alam Hashem, that all Jewish blood is being, that you took into you the earth, and it's all covered by you. How do you do that? How do you hide all of our suffering? How do you hide all of our blood? We believe that's Matzah Rishul Kavach from Kol Ma'aseh Retzach Alam Hashem Eretz Al Techasid Ameinu. He says, the earth, you shouldn't cover our blood. Al Techasid Ameinu. Hein Kiblu Me'avaseim V'avaseim V'avaseim. But our ancestors in Mitzrayim, they had a Kabbalah. As they were going through all of this, they knew from their fathers, their grandfathers, that there was once upon a time we weren't slaves, we weren't disgusting slaves. They knew, they heard about who we used to be, and that we didn't come to the world in such a way. That any little Egyptian can go and make fun. They heard from their fathers and grandfathers that when we came here, we were the highest, we were the nobility of Egypt, and we came to the world as great and exalted people. And even the Egyptians held us in the highest esteem. They knew the Zaydi Yosef HaTzadik, that Yosef HaTzadik was the prime minister here, like in Germany. Oh. All the in Austria, this Kol Mitzrayim, Hitzel, Me'avdin, and Mavis, and that what? That we were the ones that saved the Egyptians from death. Yosef HaTzadik, we saved them. Aval Ein Zeich Lele Yosef, but nobody spoke anymore. Not Yosef, or the Shaz Kenem, and not the other ancestors. Ashahiti Velasis and Mitzrayim. They didn't talk to the Egyptians anymore about all they had. Who built up all of Mitzrayim? Who saved Mitzrayim? Who built up all of Europe? The Jews. Who built up all of Germany? Now no one spoke about it anymore. Ragachas lehem l'dakis el etzizim. Only was the crush and to destroy. Okay, man. Continue with your Shemesh.